This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
तो आजादी का जो टॉपिक है इट्स फ्यूचर ऑफ द पास्ट लीडर्स, फ्यूचर ऑफ द पास्ट लीडर्स, इस पे वो इंशाल्लाह गुफ्तगू करेंगे फ्रॉम 7:45 टू 8:45 इंशाल्लाह. जज़ाकल्लाह खैर. सलाम अलैकुम.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. ما بعد, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My topic is to talk about our leaders, our predecessors, or great achievers of the past, and see how we can learn from them and implement the teachings and the examples into the future. So the topic should be rather the future of potential leaders. So let me start with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated in an authentic report, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun." Every single one of you, all of you are leaders, are shepherds. So who's a shepherd? Shepherd is someone who leads a flock. Every single one of you is responsible for a flock. Your flock may be your family. Your flock may be your neighborhood, your flock may be your students, your flock may be your business partners, your flock may be your staff, your flock may be the people you you know, work with, or people who work under you. You may be in any capacity, working in any capacity, you may have a flock. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave you this instruction or this information that you are to lead. You are to lead. Every single one of you is responsible for someone. For that reason, we need to think diligently about our responsibilities towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, primarily because Allah is the one who created us. And He created us with a purpose. Our purpose is in the Quran. Allah tells us, our Creator tells us in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. We, or I, have not created man and jinn except to worship the Creator. So the purpose of this creation was to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "Ash-shamsu wal-qamaru bi-husban, wal-najmu wa-shajaru yasjudan," Allah is telling us that every single thing Allah has created is inevitably in submission to Him. None of these things are free. The sun has been placed where it has been placed in its constant so that you may live. Astrophysicists tell us that if we move the sun from its constant few meters back or forward, we will cease to exist. We will not exist anymore. Sometimes we don't actually think about this. If you think about how far the sun is, suraj ko sab dekhte hai na? Everyone can see the sun with your naked eye. Yes? Everyone gazes upon the sun every single day. When you leave your home in the morning, you look at the sun and it's a burning ball of fire. And you think, oh, it's a normal thing. We see it every day, not a big deal. But it is actually a huge deal if you start to think about it, if you start to gain knowledge about it. The sun has been burning for millions of years. It is rightly placed. It has been placed in a very special place for your existence. And if it is disturbed, it is moved backwards or forward, depending on the lack of heat or the intensity of heat, you will die. you will die, even though the sun is 93 million miles away. 93 million. Can you imagine looking at something, it is 90 million miles away and you can still see it with your naked eye? Can you imagine the size of that entity? How far is Lahore from here? How far is Lahore from Islamabad?
263
kilometers. And now if I was to put you on the tallest tower possible in Islamabad, would you be able to see Lahore with your naked eye? You wouldn't, right? Even if Earth was a flat plane, you wouldn't be able to see the city of Lahore. But you can still see the sun, which is 93 million miles away. What does that tell you? It is huge, it is gigantic, it is humongous. And despite that, it has been placed in exactly the right spot for your existence, for you to live. And this is why Allah tells you in the Quran, in Surah Ar-Rahman, الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ. Allahu Akbar. The moon, the sun and the moon have been placed according to a counted system, according to mathematics, to put it in plain terms. Their placement is mathematical. It has been counted. The word bihusban comes from the word hisab, right? Hisab and husban is the same root word, which is mathematics. Allah is telling us the placement of the sun and the moon in the constants is exactly right. It's calculated for what? Calculated for what? Further down in the Quran, in Surah An-Naba, Allah tells you why, for what? And when we read in Surah An-Naba, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reasons as to why the day of judgment will take place, عَمَّ يَتَسَالُونَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ عَمَّ يَتَسَالُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ. They ask you about the great news. Tell them, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. They will come to know. Again they will come to know. How? Why? How will they come to know? How will they come to know? أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا. Allah has made a burning lamp for you. A burning lamp for you. The one you see every single day. And what does it do? وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا. Allahu Akbar. This sun sends down water. This burning lamp Allah has placed for you, it sends down water, and this water gives you your food. Imagine the connection Allah makes of the water cycle with the sun. If the sun ceases to exist, if it goes off, if the sun is switched off, you will die. You will cease to exist. This is why you worship Him. A small demonstration of His power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran and in the horizons, as Allah tells us again in another place, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. That we will show our signs to them in the horizons. They will see my signs. Allah is telling that you will see the signs of my power in the horizons and within yourselves. The more you study yourself, the more baffled you are. There are machines, millions of machines within yourselves. Did you know that? Right now, as everyone is sitting and listening to me, and every single one of you is a collection of molecules and cells and all sorts of things working within your system. in your brain, in your heart, in your kidneys, in your lungs, in your entire body is made of tiny machines. They're working within you. So Allah is telling you, you will see my signs there and in there if you contemplate, so that it is clear to you that it is the truth from your Lord. We didn't come about by chance. It's not an accident. So Allah created you. So we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we worship Him the way He wants us to worship Him. Can you do your namaz or your salah hanging upside down? Can you? The Prophet is telling you, pray, sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. Right? Pray as you see me pray, yes? Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, meri tarah namaz padho. Meri tarah nahi. Subhanallah. Ye alfaz mere muh se galat nikal gaye. Jis tarah mujhe padhte dekho us tarah padho. Agar Allah ke Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ye keh dete, sallu kama usalli, you are dead. You're finished. You can't pray like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aap Allah ke Nabi ki namaz padh sakte hain? Aap unka khushu, can you concentrate? Can you actually do your salah like the Prophet did sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. So the Prophet said, you pray as you see me pray. You cannot pray as I pray. Because the level of his iman is not your level. So we worship Allah as He wants us to worship. And this is why many people in the past, they came, the people we follow, the people we look up to, the people we love and talk about on daily basis, they are the ones we follow because they followed Allah and His Messenger. Because they followed Allah and His Messenger. Who cares about Umar bin Khattab otherwise? Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, who cares about him otherwise? Tell me. Do you know what he looked like? No, we don't. Do you know how tall he was? Although there are reports, right? He was a man who lived 14 centuries ago. And to this day, in the 21st century, we talk about him because we love him. Because of his character, because of what he did for Islam. Likewise, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr, Uthman, all of them and other Sahaba put together. All of them. And people who followed them. And people who followed them. And people who followed them. Especially the first three generations, the generation we call Salaf, the early generation. Who are they? خير الناس قرني قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم The best of people are my generation, my companions, and the one that comes after tabi'in, and the one that comes after tabi'in. And amazingly, Allahu Akbar, when you look into the history of Islam, the Islamic conquest, the spread of Islam ended with the third generation. Think about it. There's a reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he praised this generation even before this generation was born, especially the second and the third. Allah's Prophet is saying, the best people are mine, my generation, and the ones that come after, who are not born yet, tabi'een are not born yet, are they? When the Prophet is talking, is any of the Tabi'i alive? No. Technically, no. Technically, no. Taba Tabi'in, far from it. But the Prophet is telling us they are the best people. And amazingly, the spread of Islam happened within a century. Because Allah promised in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur, verse number 55, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. It is a promise of Allah to those who believe among you and they do righteous deeds, that Allah will grant you succession in the land. You will overpower the land. You will become powerful. You will become leaders in the land. La yastakhlifannahum fil ard. It's very specific. Those of you who believe and do righteous deeds, you will be given the land. Within a century of the Prophet's death, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, three generations had taken the land. Land stretching as far as northern France on the one hand, and on the other hand, northern China. You know, if you took a flight today from northern China to France, you know how long it would take? You know how long it would take? Let alone walk. Ashabu Rasul traveled for years. Tabi'een traveled for years. Taba Tabi'een traveled for years. They gave their lives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the flags of Islam were to be seen in northern France and northern China on the other hand, and in the south at the same time, in India, in the subcontinent, in a place called Sindh, Muhammad bin Qasim, who was alive at the time of Tabi'een. Muhammad bin Qasim was alive within the third generation. You know when the last Sahabi passed away? Go and surprise me today, brothers. Who is going to tell me the name of the last Sahabi and the date he died? Yes, please. No. Yes, please. Yes. Sorry? MashaAllah, I have to hug you, man, but not now. I will continue. MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. Okay. Did anyone else know this answer? No. No, this is the state, and this is exactly why I'm doing this lecture today, so that you realize how far behind we are on knowing our true heroes, right? If I was to ask you right now, who is Cristiano? Who? Naam pura karna uska? Saji bhi pade rahmatullah alayhi. Huh? Pade na? Cristiano Ronaldo. Ronaldo, right? Huh? Uska pura shajara nasab nikal ke aap mere samne rakh denge. Right? Kahan se aaya, kyun aaya, kab aaya? Who's his girlfriend? Huh? How old is he? Kitne goal usne score kiye? How much money he earns? How much is he worth? Which team he's playing for? Sari details nikal aayenge. Tell me honestly, how many of you know this information? Tell me honestly. Put your hands up. Koi masla nahi hai. Koi ye hota hai. Life hai. Right? Many of you. Abhi wo jo ek jawab unhone diya hai, unfortunately not many people knew ke Allah ke nabi ke aakhri sahabi unka naam kya tha aur wo kab unki wafat hui radhiyallahu an. Abu Tufail Amir bin Wathila. Abu Tufail Amir, padhe mere saath. Abu Tufail Amir bin Wathila. And he died in 110 Hijri, 110 Hijri, exactly 99 years after the Prophet's death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are other opinions, 105, 107, but the most accurate opinion is that he passed away 110. And there were Tabi'een alive. Many of them died in this era. Taba Tabi'een. So by the time Taba Tabi'een, the generation of Taba Tabi'een was finished, the conquest of Islam had stopped. Because Allah had promised the best generation this taking of the land. This taking of the land. And what happened? Once they took the land, did they exploit? Did they rob people? Did they push the Jews and the Christians around? Did they torture them? جس طرح آج کل دعوے کیے جاتے ہیں کہ مسلمان بہت جو ہیں وہ ایک شدت پسند قوم ہیں اور ان پر اعتبار نہیں کیا جا سکتا, اس لیے کبھی بھی ان جو اقلیتیں ہیں مسلمان ملکوں میں ان کے ساتھ بہت ظلم ہوتا ہے. اسلام کی تاریخ اٹھا کے پڑھیں, اسٹڈی دا ہسٹری آف یور پریڈیسیسرز, دے ور ان اپیٹمی آف جسٹس. ان لوگوں نے انصاف, اپنا نقصان کروا کے انصاف کیا دوسروں کے ساتھ. دے اسٹیبلش جسٹس ان دا لینڈ, ویئر ایور دے وینٹ دے گیو پیس ٹو پیپل. دا جیوز سروائیوڈ فار 1,000 years بیکاز دا مسلمز پروٹیکٹڈ دیم, فرسٹ ان الاندلس, اینڈ وانس دے ور کِکڈ آؤٹ آف الاندلس, دین ان دا آٹومن لینڈز, ایون ان دا مڈل ایسٹ وین دا ایوبیز ور گورننگ. There was a huge flourishing population of Jews in Yemen, in Morocco, in fact throughout North Africa, from Morocco to Egypt, flourishing Jewish populations. And in Europe, the Jews were being persecuted. They were being pushed around. There were times when they were completely wiped out from countries. In the 13th century, King Edward I, Braveheart movie دیکھی ہے, مرزا غالب ڈراما دیکھا ہے, have you seen Braveheart? اس میں جو کنگ ہوتا ہے نا, ایڈورڈ دا لانگ شینک, ایڈورڈ دا فرسٹ, ہی ڈروو دا انٹائر پاپولیشن آف جیوز آؤٹ آف انگلینڈ. اینڈ سیم ہیپنڈ ان فرانس, فلپ, ہی ڈروو آؤٹ دا انٹائر پاپولیشن آف جیوز. The Jews were heavily persecuted. When they were prime ministers, ministers, poets, scholars, you know, the best scholarship Jews ever produced, you know where it was? Do you have any idea, brothers? It was under the protection of Islam. First in Spain, then in the Middle East. The second Moses in Jewish history. There is only one Moses in Jewish history, right? Musa alayhi salam, yes? And they call a man second Moses. So important is this man for Jewish history, they call him second Moses. His name is Musa bin Maimun, also known as Maimonides. He was born in Spain. He wrote in the Arabic language. Although he was persecuted in Spain later on by a group that was very extreme in its approach towards non-Muslims. But where did he find refuge? He found refuge with other Muslims in Ayyubid Egypt. In fact, he was the physician of the brother of Sultan Salah ad-Din Ayyubi in Egypt. When he left Spain because of persecution, he came to Egypt and he became a private physician to the brother of Sultan Salah ad-Din Ayyubi. If I'm not mistaken, Malik al-Afdal. So, how was all this achieved? When Christians and Jews were testifying to the fact that Muslims are the best thing that happened to them. You know, there were Christians in Syria and Egypt. They were praying that Muslims come and occupy their lands. Why? Because of their character, their uprightness. And when Muslims had taken their lands, they prayed that Muslims stay in those lands. Why? Because of the characters of the people. And there is an incident when Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took the city of Damascus from the Christians because this was Byzantine territory. Bilad al-Sham, the land of Asham, and it is this land the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for. Allahumma barik lana fi shamina. And someone asked, ya Rasulullah, fi yamanina, and he said, fi yamanina. And then someone asked him about Najd, east Iraq, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to pray. In fact, he said, that's where the horns of shaitan will rise. And wallahi, when you study the history of Islam carefully, you will see every single fitan, every single deviant sect has its roots in the land of Iraq. Mu'tazila, Qadariya, Jabariya, Jahmiya, and Murjiya, and all the other sects we could talk about. Shia. Okay? The roots are in Iraq. So the point is, Rasulullah prayed for this land for a reason. Allahumma barik lana fi shamina. Okay? And in this land, when the Muslims arrived there for the first time, the Byzantine Christians who occupied this land, what is Bilad al-Sham? Bilad al-Sham is currently Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Palestine. Collectively, these four countries, at the time of the Prophet, they were called Bilad al-Sham. Is that clear? And when Muslims arrived at Damascus, the people didn't know who these people are. Aaj agar char sadde ke kuch pathan utke aa jaye kheton se, I'm just giving you an example. You know those farmers? Have you seen farmers working in the farms? They look scruffy, right? There's dust all over them, you know, and they look like, you know, subhanAllah, they're not, you know, they're not very presentable, are they? You know, when you are working in farms, you're not very presentable. You don't wear your tuxedo or, you know, your best suit and to go and go and work in farms. Likewise, when these people, the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, they came from the desert into this civilized land of Christians, the Roman Empire or the Byzantine Empire or the Byzantine Empire, as some people pronounce it, when the Muslims arrived there, the people of Damascus, who were very educated, they used to read the Bible, they had a literary tradition. The Arabs were not known for that. The Arabs were known as wild, barbaric, semi-civilized or semi-barbarized. Suddenly these Arabs have turned up to their gates. So when they looked at them, they said, no, no way will these people do justice with us. We have to fight. They resisted. The first time, they resisted the Muslims. Are you listening carefully? Now, there is something you have to know. The people of Syria, the Christians of Syria, followed a different version of Christianity to the ruling class did. The ruling class, the Byzantine, the Greek governing Christians, who mainly belonged to Asia Minor, or to the current day Anatolia, Turkey or Constantinople, they were Greeks. Linguistically, not necessarily ethnically, right? So they followed a different version of Christianity, and the people of Syria followed a different version. I am trying to simplify things so that you understand. Because of this difference, the masses in Syria, the population, they disliked the ruling class. I can give you, what example can I give you? There are many examples. You know, imagine if Allah forbid, Allah bachaye hame, Qadianis came to power in Pakistan, right? It's an example. Agar Qadianis Pakistan ke hukmaran ban jaye, aur jo population hai, jo Pakistan ki jo abadi hai, of course they're not Qadiani, are they? Right? Most of them are not Qadiani, right? So it would be a problem for the population. The population wouldn't be happy with it. Likewise, this is what happened in Byzantine territory. In Syria. So the people didn't like the rulers. But at the same time, when the Muslims came from the desert, they looked at the Muslims and they looked scruffy. Dust all over them. Their clothes are funny. Their camels are funny. Their horses are funny. They looked very poor, very downtrodden. And naturally, a civilized population living in a civilized city, naturally, you would be really worried that if these people got into our city, they will rob us. They will rob us of our belongings and our food and everything. So they were worried. But they didn't want the Romans either. Right? So cut the long story short. Futuhul Buldan is the book of Imam Al-Baladhuri, where he documents as to what exactly happened. The book is called Futuhul Buldan, and it has been translated into Urdu language. And Imam Baladhuri states that Muslims forced their way into the city of Damascus from one gate where the people resisted. From another gate, one of the bishops, who had realized that we can no longer resist this army, he made terms. He signed terms with Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. So Muslim armies entered the city of Damascus from two different gates and they met in the middle. Now the dispute was, have we taken the city by force or have we taken it by treaty, by terms? Sulhan or Anwatan in the Arabic language. Was it taken by sulh? Sulha ke saath liya ya jabran liya? And eventually the decision was made that it has been taken by sulh. We have taken, so we give peace to the people of city. We let them live in peace and let them have their properties and the churches and all of that. And they lived in peace, the Christians. Now when the Muslims had lived with the Christians of the city of Damascus, they had come to know their rulers, their new rulers who looked very scruffy and uncivilized, but in reality, they were a very civilized people. Their manners were amazing, absolutely mind-blowing. The Christians were shocked that these Arabs, those the ones we know as barbarians, can behave like this, because they were thinking of pre-Islamic Arabs. They had not yet realized the fruits of Islam, how Islam had changed these people. So Abu Ubaida had explained everything to the Christians, that this is how we will live. You'll have your churches, you worship as you like, you read your Bible, you go about your business, your religion. We're not going to force you, we're not going to do nothing. Live in peace and pay your taxes, jizya, like the Muslims pay zakat. And jizya will be taken for your protection. We are charging jizya so that we can protect you. And the Christians paid happily. Now, Heraclius or Heracl, the king who was contemporary to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the king of Byzantines, the Roman king or the Byzantine king, was called Heraclius. He mustered an army of 300,000 men. Are you getting bored? Bored to nahi ho rahe? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sabko meri baat samajh mein aa rahi hai? The reason why I'm speaking English is because this is going to international audience as well. Urdu bolunga to sirf aap jaise Mirza Ghalib aur Allama Iqbal hi samajh sakenge. So I'm speaking in the English language so others internationally can also understand what I'm talking about. So Abu Ubaida, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, had taken this city. So now Heraclius, the Roman emperor, had mustered a giant army, a gigantic army, to take back the land of Sham, Asham, or the land of Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, put together, all of those lands. So when the army came, Heraclius came with his army to fight the Muslims, to drive them away again into the desert. Now there were two options with Abu Ubaida. Abu Ubaida bin Jarrah, one of the closest companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the leader at the time. And he was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that people were of the opinion that after Umar, the Khalifa would be Abu Ubaida bin Jarrah. The Khalifa would be Abu Ubaida. There would be no other opinion about that. But Abu Ubaida radiallahu an, he died in a plague. Later on, in the land of Asham, I've seen his grave in Jordan, near the Dead Sea. Actually, Abu Ubaida bin Jarrah and Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu an are buried very close to each other near the Dead Sea in Jordan, because they died in a plague called Amwas. Many thousands of companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam perished in this plague. So Abu Ubaida had two choices now: either to fight a siege battle, stay within the fortress or the castle of Damascus, or fight outside. And then the decision was made, the strategic decision was made, that we go outside of the city of Damascus because we are not able to fight such a large army in a siege battle, because they will block our water, our food, and we will starve and we will surrender and there will be no chance, and the population will be punished as well. So they left the city of Damascus. When they were leaving the city of Damascus, Abu Ubaida bin Jarrah ordered his treasurer, ordered the man who kept the money, to return the jizya to the Christians. Are you listening? He ordered his treasurer to return the money to the Christians. And the Christians were shocked. They were shocked. When do you need the money most? When do you need the money most? You need the money most in war. It is, and it could be easily justified. Sorry, we need the money, and if we return, we'll give it back to you. He could have said that to them. No, he said no. Jizya was taken to protect the Christians of Damascus. Abu Ubaidah said, we can no longer protect them. We no longer have the ability to protect them. Therefore, the money must be returned. The Christians cried and they prayed that, O Allah, O God, send the Muslims back. O Allah, cause the Muslims to defeat the Byzantine Christians, the Romans, because these Muslims are more just than the Romans. And the Battle of Yarmouk took place. The Battle of Yarmouk, long story short, the Muslims, 40,000 of them, crushed an army of close to 200,000 Romans. And the Romans left the field never to return to the land of Syria. To this day, the Romans have never returned. And when the Muslims came back to the city of Damascus for the second time, remember what happened the first time? Do you remember what happened the first time? What happened? they resisted. This time, no resistance. The Christians of Damascus opened the gates, welcomed the Muslims as liberators, and they prayed for them. This is, by the way, confirmed by a Roman historian who wrote in Greek language. His name is Dionysius of Telmare. And this is also mentioned by Qadi Abu Yusuf, one of the students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, in his Kitab al-Khiraj, in his book Kitab al-Khiraj. This is the character of Muslims. This is exactly what we uphold. This is exactly what we promote. This is the behavior of Muslims. This is the behavior of the followers of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those who behave otherwise, the love people express for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and those who claim that they love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the love is a strange love. Ab koi aapko kahe ki mujhe aapse pyar aur aapko thappad mare, right? Aapke bhai thappad kyun mara? I love you. Aapko baad mein samajh aayegi, baat samajh mein aayegi. If someone comes and slaps you, and you go, why did you slap me? Because I love you. What kind of love is this? This is not love. No, this is the way I love. This is the way I love. This is the only way I understand. And then he starts ripping your clothes. What are you doing, man? I love you. Okay, and then he starts kicking your car and starts burning your car and starts smashing your car. What the hell are you doing, man? I love you. And then he's singing at the same time, I love you, I love you, I love you. You're going to think this person is crazy, right? Right? You love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way he taught you to love. Yes? The way his companions loved. And they loved him by obeying him, taking his instructions seriously. Yahan to ulta nizam hai. Wo shair ne kaha na ki ye mehkhana hai, yahan ka nizam ulta hai. Jo ladkhada na saka pee ke ho gaya badnaam. It'll take you a while to understand this, by the way. اور رحمتیں ہیں تیری اغیار کے کاشانوں پر. یہ میں ان لو والوں کی بات کر رہا ہوں جو لو والے ہیں نا, لو والے, میں ان کی بات کر رہا ہوں. رحمتیں ہیں تیری اغیار کے کاشانوں پر, برق گرتی ہے تو بیچارے مسلمانوں پر, رائٹ. حالانکہ اقبال نے یہ بات کسی اور کانٹیکسٹ میں کہی تھی, لیکن یہاں بھی فٹ ہوتی ہے, رائٹ. سو اف یو آر غیر مسلم تو درکنار, مسلمانوں کا بیڑا غرق کیا جا رہا ہے. اور اٹ از Muslims who are doing this to Muslims. It is Muslims doing this to Muslims. This means we don't understand the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't even understand our history. Hame pata hi nahi hai kya hua piche. Kaun log the, unhone kya kiya, और हमें क्या करना है, हाउ डू वी फॉलो देम. फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल द ओनली वे यू कैन नो व्हाट टू डू इज व्हेन यू नो हाउ पीपल हैव डन इट इन द पास्ट. इफ यू डोंट नो अबाउट देम, इफ ऑल यू नो इज क्रिस्टियानो रोनाल्डो रोनाल्डो और मेसी और मस्जिद में हमें किस किस के नाम लो, इस पाकीजा जगह पे मैं ऐसे नाम भी नहीं ले सकता उल्टे सीधे, राइट. द पीपल यू रियली लव, आई टेल यू हु रियली लव, मैं आपको बताता हूं हु यू रियली लव. जिसके बारे में आप ज्यादा जानते हैं उसको आप प्यार करते हैं, उससे मोहब्बत आपको, हकीकी मोहब्बत वो है. अगर आप अल्लाह के नबी के बारे में नहीं जानते जितना आप दूसरों के बारे में जानते हैं, फिर आप मोमिन नहीं हो सकते. सॉरी, आई एम सॉरी इफ यू डोंट लाइक इट. If you know about other people than the messenger of Allah, then you cannot be a believer, not a true believer. मैं ये नहीं कह रहा हूं नाउज बिल्ला जो इस्लाम से खारिज हो गए, नाउज बिल्ला. मैं ये कह रहा हूं आपका ईमान जो है वो क्यों क्यों भाई, ask me why, पूछे why, मैं बताता हूं why. अल्लाह के नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम, the prophet said सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम, لا يؤمن احدكم حتى اكون احب اليه من والده وولده والناس اجمعين. You will not believe until I become more beloved to you than your children, your parents and all of mankind put together. So how can you know more about someone else than the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when you claim to be a muslim? If you don't know when the Prophet was born, what he did, how he did, who he taught, what did the companions do afterwards, what did the imams do, what did our pious predecessors do, what did our great generals do, our heroes. You know how nations forget the heroes? You know how once you forget your heroes, you will never imitate them. Do you agree? Yes? Once you forget your heroes, you will never imitate them. Yes? And how do nations forget their heroes? How do nations forget their heroes? They forget their heroes by replacing them with others. Sometimes they do it themselves. Other times, others do it for them. In your case, others have done it for you. अब आपके हीरोज, नाउ योर हीरोज आर हू? फिर वही वाली बात है, मस्जिद में मैं ऐसे नाम ले नहीं सकता, मस्जिद में मैं ऐसे नाम ले नहीं सकता, राइट. सो योर किड्स, दे हैव इंपोज्ड देयर सो कॉल्ड सुपर हीरोज ऑन योर किड्स. नाउ योर लिटिल चिल्ड्रन, मैं रिलीजियस लोगों की बात कर रहा हूं. I'm talking about people who are religious, Muslims, practicing Muslims. Their kids are watching Lion King, Spider-Man, Superman. If you're from my generation, Pink Panther. Right? Yeah? And if you're from your grandfather's generation, then Mickey Mouse, the old one. Right? These are the things we are showing our children for entertainment. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we bring the knowledge of our heroes to our children? Firstly, by learning about them. My time is running short, so I'm going to cut my talk, you know, inshallah, very soon, so that we can take Q&A as well, inshallah. I have plenty of time, I know, but I want to talk to you as well. I want to take some questions as well. First of all, we need to know about our predecessors, our heroes, their achievements. And we need to know exact details so that we can explain those details to our future generations. You know, I can go on and on and on about imams, their sacrifices, the way they memorized information and knowledge so that it can come down to you authentically. And then our scientists, Jabir bin Hayyan and Ibn al-Haytham and Abul Qasim al-Zahrawi, you know, the man who invented surgical instruments, and Ibn al-Haytham is... theories on optics and other things, for example, okay, Jabir bin Hayyan's chemistry, I can talk about all these things and Islamic civilization from Al-Andalus to India. I can talk about it. Muslim achievements in science and technology and advancement and weaponry. As late as the 18th century, Muslims are superior to the West. Muslims are technologically superior to the, you know, did you know that? As late, the balance was tilted in the 19th century. Now when you look at the West with this technological advancement, which is good for them, we cherish it. We appreciate anything good the West has to offer. We are not a biased and prejudiced people in a sense that when something good comes to us, we reject it. No, because we may not like a certain people and their ways. No, it shouldn't be like that. We should acknowledge virtue, goodness, justice where it exists. There is justice in Western countries. There is justice in the West. There is good education system in the West. There is good health service in the West. There is good organization and infrastructure in the West. There is, no doubt. People who continuously all the way cursing the Western nations and Western foreign policy and all of that, we should acknowledge good where it exists. Al-hikmatu dalatul mu'min. Wisdom is the lost property of a believer. You take it wherever you find it. So there are great things about the West, and we cherish them. Like there were great things about the Muslim civilization. But unfortunately, the West cannot anymore see the Muslim lands as model lands like they did in the past. You know, in the past, for 1,000 years, Western scholars were coming to the Muslim lands, taking knowledge on all major sciences and taking it back to their own lands. Up to the period called the Renaissance, the 16th century, Western scholars were studying Islamic Muslim works on science and philosophy. They left the religion out because of bias and prejudice. Because the clergy, the churchmen were very strong. It would be unimaginable for a Christian scientist, even if he might have found Islam, to embrace Islam and live in Europe. Europe was a very dangerous place. People were being burnt alive in Europe for a very long time. When you go to Switzerland and when you go to Norway, Sweden, I've been to these places, by the way. When you go to the US or England, you look at these places and you think these places have been like this for the last 1,000 years. No. No. In fact, a lot of this money came from colonialism. India was robbed dry. There was an estimate that $40 trillion were taken from India by the British. Victorian England, I would go as far as to say that industrial revolution in Britain and the rest of Europe happened because of colonialism, because of the way they milked colonized lands dry. This is also part of Western history, of course. So jab دہشت گردی کے یا تشدد پسندی کے الزامات مسلمانوں پہ لگائے جاتے ہیں واٹ از ہڈن فرام یو از دا ویسٹرن ہسٹری ایون ریسنٹ ہسٹری آف کورس دیر آر ایکسٹریمسٹ ایلیمنٹس ود ان مسلم کمیونٹیز اراؤنڈ دا ورلڈ آف کورس دیر آر ٹیررسٹ دیر اینڈ اٹ از دا مسلم ہو ہیو بین وکٹمز مور دین اینی ون ایلس پاکستان ہیز لاسٹ ہنڈریڈ آف تھاؤزنڈ آف لائفز in this war between two mad, establishments. The Western political establishments and the extremist terrorist establishments within the Muslim lands. And who's dying, who's paying the price? The Muslim masses. 1 million Iraqis were killed, you know, in a very small span of time. So I don't want to get into politics. Leave politics out. Let's come back to history. So when we start talking about Western civilization and its history, it's bloody. is absolutely bloody. You will be shocked. You will be blown away completely. And once you study your own history and you think, subhanAllah, and we are the ones being called terrorists and extremists. When you study the history of transatlantic slave trade, when you study the history of witch burning in Europe, or heretic burning in Europe, and colonialism, people curse Hitler. Rightly so, rightly so, definitely. He deserves it. But why is Churchill a hero? Churchill, Winston Churchill, who single-handedly killed 4 million people in Bangladesh. So all these people, things are very important for you to know. Coming back to my topic. So once we know that our history is great, we have achieved huge things in the past. We have great heroes in our history who have done great things. Scientists, philosophers, you name it. Scholars, poets. Muslims have achievements in every single field. Fields you cannot imagine. Brothers, what you have lost in this land called Pakistan, you cannot imagine. You have completely turned away from your civilization. You have turned your backs on your history and your civilization. Things that made you great ethically and morally, you have abandoned. Within the Indian subcontinent, Muslims were reading poetry of Hafiz. You know, Gulistan Bostan of Sheikh Saadi, ethical texts and treatises. But since colonialism, we have completely changed our ways. We have completely abandoned our civilization. And we think there's nothing worthy in it. You think that because you have been conditioned by another. So your heroes have been taken away from you systematically because others have been given to your children and to you. And to you. So how do we change the situation? We change the situation by learning about our predecessors. Right? Learning about them. First, it starts with gaining knowledge of our history. Studying what happened in Al-Andalus. What happened in the Middle East. Who are the Ayyubids? Who are the Umayyads? Who are the Abbasids? Who are the dynasties that governed the Indian subcontinent? Starting from the Delhi Sultanate period, coming down to the Mughals. And then how did the decline happen? What caused it? What were the causes of the decline? How can we go back to that greatness, that glory again? These things are very important. So it starts with gaining knowledge of your civilization and your people. Is that clear, brothers? Right? And once you learn about them, then you contemplate. You study, and then you plan for the future. Then you plan for the future. I have few steps, few things I want to share today with you. Few practical steps to change the situation of the Muslims. You know, when I was talking about the West, that when you land, for example, in London at Heathrow Airport, you're treated like a human being. You're not pushed around. No one's asking you for bribes. No one's wronging you. No one's being unjust to you in most cases. Right? Predominantly the behavior is very virtuous. Right? It's very respectful. But when you come to Muslim lands, your airports are the first point where you realize you have come to an uncivilized land. There's no point of keeping beards, walking around with topis, going to the masjid, when the streets are full of crime and corruption and bribe. There's no point of that when you are chucking your rubbish out on the street. There's no point of that when you are robbing everyone at the first opportunity. There's no point of that. We do have a civilizational problem. We do have a civilizational crisis, and it's not because of Islam, it's because of lack of Islam and lack of understanding of Islam and lack of understanding of our history. Because we don't even know whether we were ever civilized.
What you have seen is Lahore ki traffic. Right? You know, subhanAllah, Karachi. How is it possible for the Muslims to be more dirty than others? How is it possible? Hamare iman ka hissa hai? Safai. Tidiness, cleanliness is part of our iman. How can a Muslim be dirty? How can a Muslim, and apparently this Muslim, you know, he looks like a Muslim. He's got the look. Topi, dadi, kurta, shalwar, you know, shalwar kameez, or jo bhi hamara regional libas hai. How is it possible? Karachi ki galiyon mein gand kis tarah ho sakta hai? Jo saaf nahi kiya ja raha. There is a problem. Aur aap jab London jayein, Paris jayein, to sheeshe ki tarah safaf. Ye kis tarah ho sakta hai ki ghair Muslim aap se zyada saaf ho gaye hain? ये किस तरह हो सकता है? वो आपसे ज्यादा अच्छे हो गए हैं किरदार में, वो ज्यादा ऑनेस्ट हैं, ज्यादा ट्रस्टवर्दी हैं. ठीक है, कुफर है, खुदा का इनकार भी है, लेकिन आपको क्या हो गया? सो हाउ डू वी फिक्स दिस? आई हैव फ्यू पॉइंट्स वेरी क्विकली आई वांट टू शेयर विद यू. वी नीड टू वर्क ऑन आवर एजुकेशन सिस्टम. नंबर वन, पॉइंट नंबर वन, वी नीड टू गेट एक्टिव एंड वर्क on our education system. Hame apne taleemi nizam mein tabdili lani hogi. Jo aapka taleemi nizam raij hai Pakistan mein, it is a factory producing chicks. Ye poultry farms hain. Your education institutions in Pakistan are mostly not all of them, are poultry farms. Poultry farms. Let me explain. Poultry farms. How? Kya hota hai poultry farm mein? Kya hota hai? Chickens lay eggs. Eggs hatch. Chicks come out. Then they are put through the system. And then these chicks are fed for 30-40 days. And then the cycle runs, right? Right? And then they get slaughtered and then you're on your table. Served and you eat, right? Exactly the same thing is happening here. You have an education system where you send your children, and what's happening? They study what? They study subjects they don't like. Acha, maa baap bachon ko kehte hain, padho, varna dhakke khaoge. Khana kahan se milega? You need to study. You need to study because you need a career, right? So the purpose of education has become the stomach, not the mind, right? Quran was revealed for the stomach. Do you think Quran pet ke liye aaya tha? Do you think the Quran was revealed to fill your stomachs? The Quran was revealed to do what? Afala yatadabbaroon al-Quran. Afala yatafakkaroon. Afala ta'qiloon. Afala yanduroon. Allahu Akbar. Allah baar baar aapko Quran mein keh rahe hain, socho, dekho, observe karo, contemplate karo. Allah ne ye nahi kaha ki naukriyan dhoondo ya aur kuch karo. Allah has given you life, He will feed you. This is His promise. This is His promise. The purpose of education was not to feed your stomachs. Although it can be one of the purposes, it can be one of the benefits of education, no doubt. But that is not the primary purpose of education. The primary purpose of education is to make you thinkers, to make you leaders, to make you independent. As for your provisions, as for your food, it is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot make more than that has been destined for you. As a poet said, and I'm not going to say his name in case fatwa lag jaye mere naam pe. Punjabi aati hai sabko? Kitne bandon ko aati hai Punjabi? MashaAllah, sara Punjab idhar baitha hua hai. MashaAllah. A Punjabi poet once said, This is about food and your stomach. Asmana de urde panchi vekh te sahi ye ki karde ne. Na ye karde rizq zakhira na ye bhukhe marde ne. Kade kisi ne pankh pakheru bhukhe marde vekhe ne. Bande hi karde rizq zakhira bande hi bhukhe marde ne. And this is why, by the way, based upon a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that birds leave in the morning and they never return hungry. Kitne kabutron ne ya chidiyon ne ya bazon ne ya baglon ne BSc's kiye ya MSc's kiye ya civil engineering ki hui hai ya accounting padhi hai. Main nahi keh raha aap ye mat padhe, don't get me wrong, please. Wo log keh rahe ho pagal maulvi kithon aa gaya hai, sanu kede raste laan laga hai, right? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't study. Study if you want to study that particular subject, and study it with the intention that you are going to enlighten your mind before enlightening your stomach. Stomach ke andar bhi aag lagti hai na, wo roshni jalti hai lekin nazar nahi aati, right? Especially aapki jo yahan ki khuraak hai, mashallah, wo to sahi aag lagati hai. Khaas par Ramzan ke mahine mein to tandoor masjid mein aaye hote hain tarawih ke time. So the purpose of education is to fill your minds, brothers. Maine yahan par 12 saal education hasil ki Pakistan mein. College mera yahi pe hua tha. I studied in a college in Pakistan. My time is running out. Aur wo 12 saal ki jo education hai, I believe was completely wasted. Aap has rahe hain, main aapko sachi baat bata raha hu. Maine FSC yahan se ki aur main apna college ka naam bhi bata deta hu. College ko badnaam nahi kar raha, haqeeqat bata raha hu. G104, IMCB G104. Did anyone study there? IMCB Jinan for Shazadeo. Maine apni FSC wahan se ki thi. I cannot remember a word of my chemistry book. Yeah, no, mujhe yaad hai. Wo jo rate mare H2SO4. Wo kaun se kiska formula hai? Sulfuric acid. HCl, hydrochloric acid. H2O, हाँ जी, सबको याद है, रटा मारा हुआ है. वो ये भी मैंने भी रटा मारा था, मुझे ये याद है, राइट? लेकिन फिजिक्स, मैथमेटिक्स, आज मेरी मैथ्स की बुक मेरे सामने रखें, प्लेस माय मैथमेटिक्स बुक, आई विल फेल, वल्लाही आई विल फेल, मैं फेल हो जाऊंगा. मेरा जेन चलता ही नहीं था मैथ्स, मैंने वो जबरदस्ती मार कुट खा के, यू नो, आई पास माई एग्जाम्स, राइट? मेरा माइंड थियोरेटिकल था. आई लव्ड लिटरेचर. उर्दू में मेरे टॉप मार्क्स, इस्लामियात में अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह. पोइट्री एक दफा मैंने तशरीर की, एक शायरी की, तो मेरा टीचर ने मुझे पकड़ लिया, ओए ये कहां से नकल मारी है तुमने. अल्लाह उनको बख्शे, बशीर सैफी उनका नाम था, उर्दू के टीचर थे, बहुत जबरदस्त हमारे टाइम पे. सो मेरा माई माइंड वॉज टूवर्ड्स दैट स्टफ. लेकिन आई साइंस पढ़ो, साइंस पढ़ो, साइंस पढ़ो. आई मीन नो प्रॉब्लम, दोज हु लाइक साइंस स्टडी साइंस, प्लीज डू. सो आई डोंट रिमेंबर एनीथिंग. लेकिन आई रिमेंबर एवरीथिंग आई स्टडीड आउट ऑफ इंटरेस्ट. मुझे अपनी पहली दूसरी जमात की एक नज़म याद है, बुलबुल का बच्चा खाता था खिचड़ी, पीता था पानी, गाता था गाने, मेरे सराने बुलबुल का बच्चा. आई स्टिल रिमेंबर दैट, कसम अल्लाह की मैंने ये दोबारा याद नहीं की. सो व्हाई डू आई रिमेंबर दैट? क्योंकि मुझे बहुत प्यार से पढ़ाया गया था. सो हमारी एजुकेशन सिस्टम में फेल कर रही है. हम जो है वो फैक्ट्रियां हैं वर्कर्स प्रोड्यूस करने की, लीडर्स प्रोड्यूस करने वाले नहीं. हम लोग मक्खी पे मक्खी मार रहे हैं. हमें वहां से घिसा पेटा करिकुलम आ जाता है, हम उसको ही जो है वो याद करना शुरू कर देते हैं और हम उसी पर चलते हैं. हम फॉरवर्ड थिंकिंग इंडिपेंडेंट लीडरशिप वाले लोग नहीं हैं, अनफॉर्चुनेटली, क्योंकि हमें वो सिस्टम नहीं दिया गया. हमारे जिस तरह के पिछले लोग थे, हम उस तरह नहीं है. एजुकेशन सिस्टम को चेंज करना है. And this is another lecture in itself. How to do that? That's another lecture in itself. But at least think that way and it will happen. Another point I want to make very quickly, active participation in the politics of the country. Jab aapke mulk mein koi tamasha hota hai, kuch hota hai, there is no good representation of religion and people think religion is useless. People think religion is useless. Because the people who are representing religion are not the right people. And those who are the right people don't come forward. आपके ख्याल में पाकिस्तान आपको मिलता अगर जिना और इकबाल एक्टिव ना होते? आपको मिलता? बड़े मजे से मस्जिद में बैठे हुए हैं आज, छत ऊपर है और यहां पर आपके लोग नमाजें पढ़ रहे हैं. अल्लाह की कसम, बाय अल्लाह माय हार्ट, आई गेट सो हैप्पी व्हेन आई सी पीपल वॉकिंग ऑन द स्ट्रीट्स ऑफ इस्लामाबाद इन द इवनिंग, यू नो, अंकल्स एंड आंटीज गोइंग फॉर वॉक्स, पीपल गोइंग ऑन ट्रेल 5, यू नो, एवरीवन्स हैप्पी, एवरीवन्स, यू नो, दिस पीस एंड ट्रैंक्विलिटी वी हैव इन दिस कंट्री. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send millions of, you know, mercies upon Jinnah and Iqbal and people who supported them. Ameen. Agar un logon ki struggle na hoti, to hum log mare jate. Look at neighborhood mein dekh lo, next door kya ho raha hai musalmanon ke saath. Just look what's happening there. Agar ye log politically active na hote, Jinnah, Iqbal, even Abul Kalam Azad, even though he was wrong, he was of the view that we should have united India. And obviously Jinnah didn't agree. Not because Jinnah wanted to divide India. It's because realistically, Muslims had governed India for nearly 7 to 8 centuries. And because they governed, they had their own order. And under that order, the Hindus, the Sikhs, and the Muslims, and the Christians, and all other religions coexisted. But the moment the Hindus came to power, whenever they gained the upper hand politically, they started to impose restrictions on the Muslims. To an extent, when Delhi was captured by the British in 1803, when the British defeated the Marathas, and in Delhi, Shah Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, the son of Shah Waliullah, was still alive, people came to him. He said, you know what, these people are better than the ones we had, the Marathas. Because they were extremely anti-Islam and anti-Muslim. Looking at the history of India, the founding fathers of Pakistan, they knew exactly what they're doing. Make no mistakes. Iqbal's dream was true. Jinnah's struggle was true. Pakistan was necessary. And it was made in the name of Islam. And you can never truly make Pakistan a truly Islamic country until you get involved in politics. And I don't mean become ab kin kin politicians ke naam lo masjid mein, kin kin ka naam lena jaiz hai bataye, aap bataye ji, noon league to koi nahi yahan pe, kitne jiale baithe hain aap, nahi nahi masjid hai bhai, lahor wala quwwat illa billah. Anyway, the point I'm making is, I'm not asking you to become people like that. What's going to happen to bureaucracy? What's going to happen to administration of this country? When you go to CDA, you know, you start cursing them, you start swearing at them, you start shouting at them. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right? Corruption dekhte hain to aapka dil jo hai wo doob jata hai ki yaar ye kaisa mulk hai, right? Right? You know why? Because you are standing at the shore and you're counting waves. You're not diving in. If they're not doing it, you replace them. Aapki jo education aapko poultry farm se mil rahi hai, us education ko fayda uthaye. Launch yourselves in bureaucracy. Launch yourselves in administration. Go and get these seats. I know people, I know brothers, they have done it. And they are successfully run. And their departments are running amazingly. At least corruption to nahi hogi na. At least corruption. आप लोग जो अपने आप को practicing Muslims कहते हैं, आप घर क्यों बैठे हैं? Why are you not taking that? वो यहां पर एक campaign चलाई थी, जिब्रान खलील के नाम से एक लड़का था. Remember that? Remember? Look how popular he got. हालांकि उसका agenda, only Allah knows what his agenda was, right? लेकिन आप लोगों के youngsters को क्या होता है? यहां पर एक वो communist भी आ गया था लड़का, क्या नाम है उसका? वो red जो इनके banners लगे थे पूरे इस्लामाबाद में, कौन सी पार्टी थी वो? वो आपको नहीं पता? नहीं, एएनपी नहीं, एक और पार्टी थी. देयर वाज अ यंग गाय एंड ही हैड अ गिटार एज वेल, ऑलवेज ही सिंगिंग एंड सो व्हाट्स रॉन्ग विद यू? व्हाई डोंट यू कम फॉरवर्ड, गेट इन्वॉल्वड, गेट इनटू लीडरशिप, नॉट टू लीड, नॉट टू ड्राइव अराउंड इन अ मर्सिडीज एंड फ्लाई अराउंड इन प्राइवेट जेट्स. नॉट फॉर दैट, नॉट फॉर दैट. लाइफ इज वेरी शॉर्ट And if you will not serve Allah properly, then what will happen to you is what's happening right now to people who came before these guys. Look what's happening. Ibrat ka nishan bane hue hain. What good are these billions? What good is doing all this money? So the point is, get involved in politics. Think like that. Plan. And it will happen. It will happen. If good people are not running the administration of this country, then put the good people forward. Come forward. Agarche but hain jamaat ki aasteeno mein, mujhe hai hukme azan, la ilaha illallah. Ab ek jamaat khadi hai, aur wahan par imam koi nahi hai, aur saare ek dusre ka muh dekh rahe hain, aur surah fatiha sabko aati hai, aur koi banda aage nahi aa raha hai imamat karne ke liye, to kasoor kiska hai? Jamaat is confused, right? So try to put yourselves forward to lead, to serve. To lead, to serve, not to enjoy the privileges. Number three point. I've mentioned two, education and politics. Number three point, very quickly, I'm finishing right now. Okay. Number three point is social work. Social work. Jo liberals bane hue hain thekedar, human rights ke Pakistan mein. And we know that what the agenda is. Aapko kis cheez ne roka hai? Religious practicing population or the segment of this society, who is stopping you from going and feeding the poor people on the streets and actually making a big deal out of it? Actually putting it out on social media so people can see your work. Ki ye religion wale log jo hain, jab kisi bachi ke saath rape hota hai ya uske saath zulm hota hai, usko jalaya jata hai, aap log kahan hote hain? Wahan par ye liberal log kyun pahunch jate hain pehle? To score brownie points. Ye note kiya aapne? Have you noticed that every time something like this happens, these mulhideen or these anti, you know, people who don't like Islam, they end up in places. And what is the agenda? To link the crime to Islam or to the Muslim culture. Is that true? Am I exaggerating? Why is this happening? Because you have left that vacuum. You're not filling the gaps. You are not there. Mukhtara Mai ke saath jab kuch hua tha, where were you? Where were you? Main to yahan tak kahunga, leave it. So the point is, brothers, when will we wake up? Humne ye cheezein dusron ke liye kyun chhodi hui hain? Hum log complain karte hain jab koi is tarah ki baat hoti hai, TV pe bade bade liberals aake indirectly Islam par hamle karte hain ya Islami iqdar ka mazak udate hain ya jo bhi hai. It's happening because we are not active. We don't show how strong we are. So social work is very important. And kindness, remember this principle. Repeat after me. Kindness will never die. Kindness will never die. Isiliye Allah Ta'ala bar bar Quran mein hukam de rahe hain, yateemon ko khana khilao. Masakeen ki kafalat karo. Allah ke Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bar bar ان لوگوں کے حقوق پر آواز اٹھا رہے ہیں. المسلم اخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يسلمه من كان في حاجت اخيه كان الله في حاجته. یہ جو پرنسپلز لبرلز اپنا کے اپنے ایجنڈے کے تحت وہ کام کر رہے ہیں, یہ ہمارے پرنسپلز ہیں. لا من كان في حاجت اخيه كان الله في حاجته. جو اپنے بھائی کی مدد کرنے آیا مصیبت میں, اللہ اس کی مدد کرے گا. من ستر مسلما ستره الله يوم القيامه. جس نے اپنے مسلم بھائی بہن کو ڈھانپا, اللہ اس کو قیامت کے دن ڈھانپیں گے. اللہ اکبر. یہ ہمارے پرنسپلز ہیں, آپ لوگ کیوں نہیں اپنا رہے ان کو؟ بلکہ پاکستان کے کچھ جوان پریکٹسنگ مسلمز شوڈ گو آؤٹ اینڈ ٹیک انیشیٹیوز انٹرنیشنلی. جو یہ کام سب لوگ گورے لوگ کر رہے ہیں نا, آپ کے جو گرین پیس اور کیمپیننگ فار ٹائیگرز, کیمپیننگ فار ہپوز, اینڈ کیمپیننگ فار انڈینجرڈ اسپیشیز اینڈ فارسٹیشن اینڈ ڈیفارسٹیشن اینڈ آل آف دیز تھنگز, اور انوائرمنٹل ایشوز اور ادر ڈیزیز ان ادر لینڈز اور وٹ ایور, हमारा इतना पोटेंशियल है, हमारे पास इतने एजुकेटेड लोग हैं पाकिस्तान में कि वी कैन सिंगल हैंडेडली दिस कंट्री कैन टेक केयर ऑफ द प्लैनेट ऑन ह्यूमैनिटेरियन फ्रंट. विजन इज द प्रॉब्लम. सोशल वर्क, थिंक लाइक दैट, इनिशिएट यू नो वर्क लाइक दैट एंड अल्लाह विल ओपन योर डोर्स. अनदर पॉइंट आई वॉन्टेड टू मैंशन वॉज कोऑपरेशन. कोऑपरेशन, कोऑपरेशन, इत्तेहाद, تعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم على الإثم والعدوان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that do, you know, work with each other for good and do not work with each other in oppression. Don't support each other in zulm and oppression, but work each other with in good. So if you can work with other Muslims in good, always do that. Have a vision. تعاون is very, very important. It's very important. Think big, think global. You know, when you will think big, Allah will open the doors for you and Allah will make you do big. It all starts with thinking. It all starts with thinking. Most people cannot make progress in life in whatever field they want to make progress in is because they don't think big. It's because they're thinking small. So it is very important for you to think big. And finally, I want to make sure that you understand my message. I talked about our great predecessors, our great achievers of the past, our great civilization. There are books you can read on that. There are tons of books written on what Muslims had done in terms of... And you know, the greatest achievement of Muslims was not science and technology and all that. A lot of people like to put a lot of stress on that. Okay, hum logon ne bahut badi scientific community create ki thi aur bahut bade bade philosophers paida kiye. The greatest achievement of Islam, historically speaking, was ethics, morals, great characters. That was the greatest achievement of Islam. Adab, akhlaq, mercy, compassion, justice. These are the greatest achievements of Islam. Not technology, banks, power or powerhouses. No. Allah ke Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unke aane ka sabse bada ek bada maqsad kya tha? Wa innaka la ala. Allah ke Nabi akhlaq lekar hamare liye aaye the. Laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasana. Ke Allah ne unko ek hamare liye uswa bana ke bheja. How he smiled, how he walked, how he talked, how he behaved. It's all there. We just need to take it seriously. And we need to think in our own times. Our times have needs. We need to think in our own times and apply Islam and Islamic solutions in our times. And I have given you some of the tips I talked about. Hopefully, if we work on these things, I am very sure that our situation will change, inshallah. I hope you learned something from me and I learned a lot from you. May Allah accept from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable you to act upon whatever I said correctly. And may Allah forgive me for all the mistakes I have made. Please forgive me if I offended you. Agar maine aap koi aisi baat ki jisse aapka ki dil azari hui ho ya aap naraaz hue ho to main aapse maafi chahta hoon. میرا مقصد یا میری نیت آپ کو ناراض کرنا نہیں تھی. اس کا مقصد یہ تھا کہ ہم جو اپنے مسائل ہیں ان کا حل اسلام کی روشنی میں تلاش کریں اور آج کے دور میں جدید مسائل کے جدید حل اسلام کے سے حاصل کر کے ان کو اپنے معاشرے میں جو ہے انشاءاللہ تعالی ان کا اطلاق کریں, ان کو پھیلائیں اور انشاءاللہ تعالی وہی زندگیاں گزاریں جو ہمارے پہلے لوگوں نے گزاری تھی عظمت کے ساتھ اور سکون کے ساتھ. تھینک یو سو مچ والحمد للہ رب العالمین. ڈو وی ہیو ٹائم فار کیو این اے؟ اچھا اوکے. کوئی اگر کوئی کوشچنز ہیں, کوئی لوگ کوئی پوائنٹس کلیئر کرنا چاہتے ہیں کچھ, وی ہیو فائیو منٹس. ہو اسپیکنگ نیکسٹ؟ اچھا پھر ٹائم بہت ہے. So anyone who wants to ask questions, inshallah, you're more than welcome. Otherwise, we'll end now. Yes, please.
Sir, I mean,
There's a good book called Lost Islamic History. It's by a man called Khatib Firas. You can easily find it in any of the Islamabad bookshops. So that's a good point to start. Okay? And if you want to study the history of the Prophet, Sealed Nectar. And if you want to study the history of the caliphs after the Prophet, a very short book, a very concise and a very powerful book is Tariq al-Khulafa. Tariq al-Khulafa by Imam Suyuti. It has been translated into English and Urdu. So these are the books to start with. These are short books. These are introductions. These are not detailed books. Once you get into these sources, you will find a lot more, inshallah. So if you want to study the history of Islamic civilization and what it did, a good start is Firas Khatib's Lost Islamic History. And inshallah, I'm working on a book myself. Hopefully in the coming months or maybe within a year, another book will be published by myself, inshallah, with similar information which I put in front of you today. And you can get hold of that as well, inshallah, when it comes out. Anyone else? Okay, thank you so much. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Jazakallahu khairan.